Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to this very special bonus episode of Out for Blood.
We just couldn't stay away.
Over the last year, yes, it has been a year, We've spoken to nearly 70 people connected with Carrie the Musical since its earliest days. We had so much brilliant, unused interview footage that we thought some of you would like to hear more from the people who've played a part in the Carrie story over the years.
Because, turns out, from the wonderful reception that we've been receiving from you all, we're not alone. We're not alone anymore in our obsession with this musical.
I'm glad that we got the audition out of the way early.
That's not mine.
And who better to tell us all about Carrie than all of the performers who have played Carrie in Carrie the Musical so far.
Six Carries for the price of one, like musical theatre matryoshka.
And feel free to skim back through the last 10 episodes to hear even more from these marvellous ladies.
Let's go back to the very beginning.
Okay, great.
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
Hi, everybody. This is Annie Golden, the first Carrie ever. Yes, the Carrie Musical Workshop.
Annie Golden is a veteran of stage and screen. She was approached about doing the Carrie Workshop by the writers in 1986.
And that's what they said. They said, we're doing a musical of the movie Carrie. And so I was like, oh, wow. And I never thought the lead or the title role. I just thought, yeah, I'd like to be one of the teenagers, you know. And then they said, we'd like you to be Carrie. So right away, I started doing my backpedaling, you know, caveat of, well, I don't read music and I do everything by ear and I'm not really fast. I'm not quick. And if there's choreography, it takes me a while to catch up. And they're like, oh no, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And so I was, but I always had to say that because, and now people, they look at me, huh? Like incredulous. They're like, you know, but you've had a career for 40 years on Broadway dancing with choreographers and, you know, but I still say it, you know, my voice would go and go and go and go until it couldn't go anymore. And then Dean Pitchford was the one who gave me this device where he said, when you're in the closet and you're singing, when you have to, you know, our Father who art in heaven, he said, when you have to cover your ears, and he helped me find a head voice, which I didn't know, you know. So it was a learning process, and it was a helping process, and it was really just a learning curve, and it was wonderful. And I, there was a device of you know, the mirror. And I remember in the girls' room, and I remember Laurie over my shoulder singing to me, you know, it was just so beautiful. And then singing with Maureen and, you know, as mother and daughter, and it was a real feather in my cap too, because, you know, I was just shooting from the hip and doing the best I could and trying to get over. And Maureen, who's, you know, very trained, and the other kids who were trained, they were taken with me, so I knew I was on the right path and I wasn't making a fool out of myself, you know. which was great to know, which was good to know. But it's wonderful to be part of something, and now that the tide has turned, now that it's iconic, Carrie.
Yeah,
you know, so to be a part of that is when I got the recording of the workshop, I don't like to listen to myself. It's it's hard for me.
Yeah.
But when I gave a listen, I didn't hate it. I didn't cringe. I kind of was moved to tears by it. It was, look how far I've come. And I thought that I wasn't given this opportunity because I wasn't worthy. And listen, you know, it wasn't that. You know, it was validating.
It took a while after this workshop to attract producers and vital funding to mount a major production of the show.
When British director Terry Hands came on board, he settled on the idea of a half-British, half-American cast and production team.
Auditions in London led to an incredible discovery. 16-year-old Lindsay Hatley.
Hello, my name's Lindsay Hatley, and in 1988, I played the part of Carrie. I did chess at the concert once, and we had to go around, and I went, hello, my name's Lindsay Hatley, and I'm playing the part of Elaine Page.
The weekend we spoke to Lindsay last year was a busy one. The following day, she was recording an online Carrie reunion hosted by Seth Rodetsky.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe if there's anything good that comes out of this strange time that we're living through is that it does maybe give people the opportunity to reminisce a bit and look at life and reflect. And things like this seem to be happening. And it's a strange one for me that it's all happened within one weekend. So it's a real full-on carry thing. But actually, I talk with Kenny a lot because we're practically neighbours. And it's always been, a very... a big talking point for us. You know, we're passionate about it in different ways, and it's a big part of me. So I'm now proud of it.
Yeah, well, that's important, I think, isn't it?
Took a long time.
We heard all about Lindsay's audition for the show in episode 2, but here she shares a bit more detail.
Yeah, well, I was at a theatre school, Italia Conti, and I'd just gone into the student course. I was 16. And there's an agency attached to the school, and I'd been a junior there for a few years, and I never got put up for anything. You know, I was just one of those sort of. There was some really cute looking kids that got work all the time, and I just wasn't that. You know, I was kind of a gawky sort of chubby teenager. But I sang very well, you know. My voice actually for a youngster had developed quite early, and it obviously, you know, was getting quite an impact within the school. But I never got any work, and then I got called up to the agency, and they said we've got an audition's coming for you. And I was like, oh my God, an audition, and it's for Carrie, the Stephen King novel Carrie, and. And I just sort of thought, I didn't really think a lot in those days, to be honest. I was just delighted that I'd even made my way up to the top floor to the agency because, you know, I'd sort of never been up there. And they said, you're going along to the London Palladium and you need to get yourself some dance gear and a song to sing. And so I didn't really know exactly at that point that I was going for Carrie. I just knew I was going for Carrie the musical. And I went along with my leg warmers and the whole outfit, probably even a headband, knowing me, and my big 80s hair. And I remember very, very clearly standing on the London Palladium stage and thinking, my God, if I, you know, I've died and gone to heaven just actually before I've done anything. And I learnt a routine with all these phenomenal dancers, and they were all... quite a bit taller and a lot thinner than me, but I just went with it. I just thought, well, you know, maybe they're looking for all different shapes and sizes. And we learned a routine to Michael Jackson's Bad. And they blasted it through the sound system and it sounded amazing. That doom, 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 doom. I could almost remember the routine. And then I either was called back the next day or it happened at the same time. It's a little bit vague, but I think I came back the next day and all the creative team were there. All the, you know, Dean Pitchford, Michael Gore, Terry Hands, yeah. Debbie Allen, and they got me to sing again. And I sang on my own, and then Dean Pitchford, who was and always remained such a warm and gentle person, came up to me and said, would you mind putting your hair down and taking off your makeup and just looking like you naturally? And I think the thing was, I was 16 and I just thought, I'm never going to be employed unless I make myself look as old as possible. So I'd kind of put the hair up and put lots of makeup on and put my heels on and try it, because I thought that that's probably what was necessary. because I didn't know what I was doing. And so I came back, I took all my makeup off, I sat in this dressing room where there was a lot of the other girls that were, and I seem to remember Sally. Sally rings a bell because I just remember thinking, God, she's fierce. And I remember hearing her and thinking, oh my God, she's just amazing, and seemed to be so confident. She might not have been, but she came across so confident and so, you know, feisty. I took my makeup off, went back in, sang on my own again, and there was a noticeable excitement within them. I didn't know what that meant, but then they said, right, can we teach you a bit of a song? Right. And they played, dun, 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 dun. Doesn't anybody ever get it right, Carrie? And as soon as I heard that, I was just like, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. I instantly connected with it, and I just thought, I know what this feels right. So I learnt quickly in those days. I can't read music, still can't, but I think I got a good ear, and so I learnt it very, very quickly. And they said, right, now do it again, and really mean it, like, you know, this is. And so I just blasted it out the park as much as I possibly could, and there was a sense of something felt good there. And that was it. And I went home and I thought, well, that was mad. That was just mad. Well, I didn't go home. I went to my Young Women's Christian Association, which is where I was staying at the time. And I sort of, with my friends that I was, you know, studenting with, I said, I've just had the most surreal day. You know, it's been amazing. I've met Debbie Allen from Fame, and I've done this song that was amazing. And I think I took the music home with me, and someone sort of said, oh God, this does sound really good. And then I went into college the next day, and I didn't hear anything all day, and I just thought, oh, well, maybe that's it. And it was just an amazing, amazing moment. And then in the afternoon, it was actually, ironically, it was my 17th birthday. And I was called up to the agency, and I walked all the way up to these flights of stairs, and I thought, I hope it's not bad news because it's my birthday. But anyway, and I walked in, and I was given this card, and I opened it, and it was a birthday card, and it said, Happy Birthday, Carrie.
Oh. As we heard from the cast, some of the scenes in the show featuring Lindsay and the other high school girls were pretty harrowing.
There was no acting required. There really wasn't. I can genuinely say that my whole experience of Carrie was just based on instinct and reaction. Mm. You know, I just reacted to whatever was given me. Because it was very unpleasant.
Yeah.
It just wasn't very nice. Obviously, further down the line, I mean, the people that have played Carrie since have more experience. And I think, you know, in hindsight, I think the nature of the piece and maybe the effect that it's had on me over the years, I think actually you probably could do with someone older who looks younger, like Evie, who did it, you know, at Southwark and stuff like that. But as a 17-year-old who is still growing and learning, I think actually it was actually quite you know, quite a well, just a sort of traumatic, you know. I was playing the part and feeling the part.
But that's where the casting.
Looking back, what does she think about being part of this infamous show?
You know, there were so many potentially good things about the experience. You know, I mean, the fact that it was offering an opportunity for Brits to work in New York and Americans to work, you know, those sort of things didn't happen in those days. And I think that was so commendable, you know, that there were really, like I say, I mean, I look back on so much of it, and I, you know, I am proud of certain aspects of what was trying to be achieved. And I think it's sad that it was obviously so, you know, sort of put to one side when it all became so dramatic and catastrophically came off at speed. But actually, there was a lot of good that was going on.
After Carrie's premature closure, Lindsay was given the role of Eponine in Les Miserables in the West End. It was the start of a long career in musical theatre.
Having looked at it, I think my story is quite an interesting one because it you know, it is such a bizarre and unique start to a profession. And in a way, I'm fortunate that, you know, on the back of Carrie, I had enough sort of strength to go, you know what, come on, it wasn't my fault. And you know, sort of work continued. But I think it could have affected me very differently.
17 years.
Yeah. I think I was just lucky that I got good parents that just sort of, just basically sort of went, come on, you know. And what, you know, what with the sort of the strange experiences that you're going through as a teenager anyway, and then thrown into this situation. I don't come from a theatrical background, so I had no kind of, I've got amazing parents and wonderful support, but they couldn't guide me to go, oh, Lynn, this happens or that happens. Or, you know, with my daughter, I could kind of go, oh, hang on a minute, you know, I could guide her and sort of, you know, sort of give her a bit of, but there was none of that. So in some ways, it was probably a blessing that I was so naive.
We'll be back after this short break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Of course, after the show drastically closed in 1988, there was no official production of Carrie until the reworked, contemporized version, which opened off-Broadway in 2012.
Director Stafford Arima cast Molly Ranson in the title role.
Hi, I'm Molly Ranson, and I played Carrie White in the 2012 revival of Carrie. And I think I'd actually recently watched the movie, because it was around Halloween when I had my audition. I was getting, you know, in the Halloween spirit, watching some of my favorite scary movies. And then I got this audition, like, soon after for Carrie, the musical. And I was like, Carrie, the musical? That sounds like a crazy idea. but yeah, I learned the music and I thought, I was like, whoa, this is interesting. This is cool. I love that character. Like from the movie, like, I mean, Sissy Spacek is so amazing in her portrayal of that role. And I just, I like playing like weird people. So I don't know. It just kind of like, it's like, oh, I want to do that. That would be a fun role to do. So I think it would have been impossible for me to not have had Sissy Spacek kind of like as the inspiration for what I was doing, at least in some kind of way, influencing me in some kind of way, because I mean, I just always, I feel like she's the iconic Carrie in my mind. But I don't know. I think that I just kind of like how you approach any role. Like there is something, I don't know, within that role that I kind of connected to. I mean, I haven't had similar life experiences as Carrie, thankfully. But, you know, like there was just something about her, like the kind of like the fragile quality to her, the sensitivity and that kind of like hidden power that I really identified with and tried to bring into my audition. So
for Molly, it was the dramatic conclusion of the show which sticks in her mind as a highlight.
I mean, I loved doing the destruction. I really loved it's so satisfying, you know, after like all of this like kind of stewing energy and tension and like holding it all in to like be able to like have this cathartic release. It feels incredible, you know. It's so satisfying and also like very intense, and it shakes you up, but it feels like a release. And I always loved doing that part of the show. I loved singing that part of the show.
Being a part of bringing Carrie back to life was hugely exciting for Molly, Stafford, and the rest of the off-Broadway company.
That updated version of the story became the official licensed edition of the script, meaning that for the first time, schools and community groups all around the world could stage the show themselves.
To know that, like, you know, schools are still doing this all over the world. And like, it's just, it's really awesome having them do the version that they'd always dreamed of. It's pretty cool. I've done various like master classes and things like that over the years. So like, I'll sometimes get to see little bits of Carrie. I think I saw a production at NYU, and I think that was the first one that I saw, and it was really moving to go and see this group of people like bring it to life and to be, you know, like reliving this thing that I had experienced and was such a huge part of my life for years.
Now that the writers had a version of their show that they were finally satisfied with, other creative and innovative productions sprang up around the world. One of the first, in Seattle, starred Tony winner Alice Ripley as Margaret and Keaton Whittaker as Carrie.
Keaton was new to the Carrie story when her friend, director Lewis Hobson, approached her about taking on the role.
I had done, it was the year before my I auditioned for college. So I sang, oh my God, I'm blanking on the song. I'm Not Alone, which is cut actually from Carrie, which I'm sure you guys know. But I was singing that, so it was the only thing I knew about it. And it was really just my friend Lewis, who directed it, just like approached me about doing it. And that's all I knew from it. It was like a cut song. She's like a really like misunderstood, like sad. Her mom's a crazy Christian. And so she like has like just really sheltered and very like just kind of a strange high school kid, like very lonely, kind of a loner. And then she discovers halfway through the show, not even in the beginning of the show, that she has telekinetic powers. And then, everyone's like, she's very bullied and very angry.
Casts of Carrie were discovering what it was like to perform this intense story for longer runs.
I remember like being really exhausted, like the whole process. It was really like, I was exhausted. And I like, it's crazy to me I didn't do 8 a week, but I think we did like 6 or 7 a week. That's a really tough thing. I think it would even be tougher for me now just because I'm a little bit older and like settled into it a little more. I don't know. Can you imagine? I would love to do it. I would love to do that show again, honestly. I always say, I think it's a really interesting, I'm an interesting pick for the part. I wouldn't necessarily like put myself in it. If I saw that thought, if I was like, someone told me I was going to do that show, I would put myself as Chris almost every time. And yeah, I really would. I think that's like more of the type that I've kind of come into. But I don't know. I think I'm an interesting pick for it, I will say. But I really, really enjoyed doing it. It was really challenging. So.
The creators of these new productions were also discovering the importance of venues for their new interpretations. Where the original show had been staged in a cavernous Broadway theatre, directors were now experimenting with intimate and immersive spaces.
So we got to do it in this really awesome old theatre called The Moor in Seattle. And it's like huge and really haunted, apparently. And like very like really cool for like the aesthetic of our production. It was like, it's just like, and also gigantic, like a huge theatre. It was awesome. There were really cool people in it. There was like some people, like some kids like my age that were like, a lot of the ensemble was like actual teenagers. And then people like Alice and Kendra Kassbaum played Miss Gardner. And yeah, it was awesome.
If the spooky theater in Seattle was appropriate for the Carrie story, in California, director Brady Schwind went one step further, rechristening the show Carrie, the Killer Musical Experience, and fully immersing the audience into the story.
I'm Emily Lopez, and I played Carrie in the LA production of Carrie.
Just inches away from audience members who have physically moved around a high school set, it was an intimidating and often uncomfortable role for Emily.
Well, you said, when you said the word uncomfortable, it kind of just encompassed so much of what that whole experience was. Like, it, especially with the way it was arranged with people being so close. I mean, honestly, for like, I don't know how long it took. I thought I had like magic powers when the show was done, because it's just Carrie's like a spirit that just pervades everything. It's like the darkness, the fear, the confusion of like trying to organize these kind of different beliefs or things that are actually happening, or, you know, in a world where in a real world where our world is, you can convince yourself that anything is possible. So that was what was so amazing about this show, was that it was just like it was so crazy. I just was like hearing the Margaret and Carrie songs, and so many parts would just stuck to me so hard that I just thought like I have to do this show, I don't know if it would ever happen, or like, but I have to sing these songs. Like, I have to do this. I have to do this. And I mean, I grew up in a house with like extremely scary religious, like my grandmother was like that, like not just extremely religious, like very mentally ill. And that was my life. And it was just, and I guess I knew Carrie, I knew the movie, I knew all of it. But after that, it just was different. Like something changed. I mean, they really did something really special, but I guess I'm biased because like our show was like real. It was like reality because you could never, like, especially in the Los Angeles studio, you were never away from the audience. So the whole, from beginning to the end of the show, like it was all Carrie. Like there was no offstage moment of like, oh, I'm me. Like, what do I need to get ready? It was all a part of the story. Every moment that was like, I'm getting chills. Like that, I'd never had that before. And I thought it was really scary. Like I was so excited because when the lights went off in that production and it just was like, wait, what's going on? Like I was scared in it. And that even to me felt immersive already.
Around the same time, an even more intimate staging was being mounted right here in foggy London town at the Southwark Playhouse.
One of the first interviews we did was with Evelyn Hoskins, the first British Carrie since Lindsay's original interpretation.
Carrie's first song is Carrie, which is like 5 minutes of like just, it's a roller coaster and a marathon of a song. And you know, I don't know. I guess I just got on it like you would a roller coaster and you just ride it and you stay in each moment. But with Carrie, it really did like take over my life, like in a way that a role had never done before. And I would finish the show covered in blood and I would shower, go home, I'd go to bed. I'd wake up at like midday. I'd have maybe one meal and then I'd do the show over again. Like that was like, it was so like all encompassing and not in a like bad way. I didn't ever feel like unsafe.
And as with all our Carries, this was a role that Evelyn would never forget.
Oh, for me, honestly, it is probably the highlight of my career so far. It was a dream. It really was. It's just such a great role.
You've been listening to a special bonus episode of Out for Blood.
Out for Blood is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. For more information about us and the podcast, please visit us online at bpn.fm/outforblood.
If you enjoyed Out for Blood, leave us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you downloaded from. And don't forget to subscribe, just in case.
And join us on social media for lots more Carrie content. Find us at Out for Blood Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and Out for Blood Pod on Twitter.
Out for Blood was hosted and produced by me, Holly Morgan.
And me, Chris Adams.
Sound engineering and editing by Tom Moores. Paddy Jervis is our audio consultant. Original music by Odin Orne Hilmarsson and artwork by Rebecca Pitt.
Thanks this week to all those Carries: Annie Golden, Lindsay Hately, Molly Ranson, Keaton Whittaker, Emily Lopez and Evelyn Hoskins.
Thanks for joining us for this special bonus episode. Are we finished yet?
Maybe just keep a little eye on your feeds for something extra in the near future.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.